I'm glad I heard those words. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad to be saved, and I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad you're here too. Had I not been here late last night, one of the last ones to leave, and saw the musical chair thing going on, I might come in tonight and wonder what happened. And some of you might. Some of you might laugh, and the auditorium was completely different. And now it's like this. And I don't know about you, the first thought that entered my mind is, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like tomorrow. So anyway, again, we're glad you're here. And they discovered some writings recently of Abraham Lincoln, some things that had previously not been discovered. And what they found was, he made a note of his biggest regret as president. His biggest, whatever you think about him, doesn't matter. His biggest regret from his perspective was appointing Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the Supreme Court. Think about it tonight. You go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I found it interesting, Brother Riggs' comment about in color. In color. My wife, when she gives testimony, she says she has a better hair. Like, when she got saved, it looked like her life went from black and white to just living color. Amen. I think that's a good way to describe it. I haven't heard anybody else talk like that, but you got to realize, Brother Riggs, been a colon for a long time, probably like white calling guy. Paul's writing and said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Amen. And the God of peace shall be with you. I say, what is he worth doing on this? That's the benefit, if that's the reward. If we can have the God, I appreciate the peace of God, amen, like it says in Colossians chapter 3. But right there, the formula to have the God of peace with you. Verse number 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I seek in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. Contentment doesn't come natural for a human being. On the contrary, the eyes of men are never full. Amen. Or Helen, okay, I wondered that verse, but most of you didn't realize. So, the eyes of men are never satisfied, he says, right? Okay, what am I thinking? Okay, and he says, and it doesn't, contentment is what we're talking about here, it doesn't come automatically when he gets saved. Paul's been in the ministry quite a while when he wrote this, and he said, for I have learned.
Yeah.
But it's worth learning.
That's right.
It's worth learning. Godliness with contentment, great gain.
Right.
Amen. And also want to say this. This right here, that is the definitive evangelist verse. Right there. In whatsoever state I am. Amen. I was content to be in Louisiana last week. We had two men come in, 132, 112 or 13. I mean, staunch Catholics from New Orleans. They came across the lake on that causeway, came to our little services. I got to preach Sunday morning to them, and they both accepted Jesus Christ as their God, and in front of everybody. It was a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I was content to be there last week, but I'm content to be in Texas this week. I didn't call home, it's in the 30s. Above zero. Last week I was really content because it was minus 9. Amen. But that's the verse, and that's something you got to learn. Be content. All right? But I've learned some things in 20, let me see, 20
that purpose in their heart and get all the way in. And Lord God, there may be somebody in here tonight that's not saved at all. And what a blessing it is that they're here. And help us to be sensitive to them. Pray that they be sensitive to your spirit as we give the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
Lord willing, clearly enough, for a person to come to the reality that I came 2 years ago. Wow, why would you miss that? Why would you risk going to a devil's hell when eternal life is a gift? Lord, I love you tonight. I pray you be with us and minister to us as only you can. We'll thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I speak in respect of one, that's what I've learned. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about some things I've learned, because like I'm the one of your creatures, so I get to talk about that. Amen. I've learned this right here. I've learned my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Amen.
I've learned that. I know it's a song, and I know it's a Bible truth, and I get all that. But I'm just saying, on a personal level, that I've learned. I'm not just talking about he's faithful and true when others have messed up on God, or when others have let me down. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, I have learned that my Savior, my Redeemer, like the song says, is faithful and true. When I messed up, when I'm not, when I drop the ball, when I get crossways, when I get a bad attitude, I get a bad spirit, I get tempted, I am glad that my Savior, patient, loving, long-suffering Savior, is man. I'm talking about faithful and true, like the Jesus last night. Faithful to forgive. Yesterday, I'm sorry. And it's like, we got it. He forgives. your own church, whatever service it is, man, the Holy Spirit's moving. Think in your heart, amen. He ought to be.
Yeah.
He wants to be. Listen, it is not God that's playing hard to get here right now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's more interested in this than you might be.
Yeah.
Now, tell you what, like Dr. Good said, if you'll avail yourself to the Spirit of God, you'll be amazed at what He can do.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I tried it right now. Amen. Because it works. Amen. God is unbelievably merciful. You know how I know that? Let me give you an illustration. Are you familiar with the verses, the Roman road, they call it? And you work through there and you get to Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Right? And it doesn't stop there, pray the Lord. It gives God eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
And so you'll get to talk to a sinner, and you'll show them that all of sin, and then God's given his love towards you, you work your way through that thing. I'm not opposed to that. But you get to that thing on Romans chapter 6, and you start talking about death, and you can say, by the Lord, to an eternal death and a devil's hell, and that all works, that's fine, except Romans chapter 6 is ready to save you. Romans chapter 6. Amen. It's written to believers. That's a warning that Paul wrote. Said, listen, you play around with sin, and the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody will be sitting back going, yeah, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I'm not dead. Yes, yeah, your spirit's just about dead.
Yeah.
Your testimony's just about dead. I've seen nerves walk up on shore because somebody's down with sin and just will not yield to the Spirit of God. Will not get that thing right. I'm going to tell you what, the way to sin is death. Sometimes.
Yes.
Amen. Get it right.
True.
Get it right. Amen. God's unbelievably merciful. I have given him cause to kill me because I'm the same. That's probably not the only one to
do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And then I wake up in the morning. And the more I learn about it, the more I really look upon it. Oh, my soul. He's unbelievably merciful. I learned that. I didn't know this at first. Contrary to what my original thoughts were, but I learned that Christians are a long way from being perfect. Christians are a long way. I was at a meeting in Georgia, three out of jail, 3 weeks. I think my preacher just took me to this pastor's conference over at Homer Smith. I'm sure you know the name. And I got hair down over my back, got black leather jacket on. Hey, man, I cleaned up the best I could. I mean, I had a ponytail. Amen, the Texan, and they said this guy was a heroin addict, and this guy was a thug man. He was rough character. He got saved the year I was born. Amen. And they told me about him, and it occurred to me, well, what I didn't realize, they had told him about me. So when they got there, they said, well, we got a liar, but we've been out of jail 3 weeks. And so here it comes, man. Here it comes. Dear old brother Jack, quite a bit older than me. Just that cowboy hat back. Tilted his glass and down like this, looks me up and down, he says, what is your story, son? I wonder how would you pick me out of this crowd, this business conference, this math school, amen. Talk about sticking out like a sore thumb. And he came to me and he asked me that question, and I said, Brother Jack, and we want to say, point out, he said, Brother Jack, or Brother Wood, my attendant, I said, I got Satan jail, my preacher brought me down here to learn how to be a Christian. Which is the truth of the matter, amen. Amen. You know how you learn to be a Christian? You hang around with a Christian.
Amen.
No, you don't Google it. You don't YouTube it. Amen. I'm going to think that, you know, you should get a DVD for everything. Now, do they still make DVDs? Now, are you ready? When did Google become a word, a verb? Is what I want to know. This stuff scares me, man. Amen. Brother Jack said this. He said, Brother, first morning, Jack, you have a couple things. He gave me some advice. This was January of 1991 that I remember, and I draw from it to this day. He said, we got to come. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what anybody says, you can make it.
Amen. Amen.
That was encouraging, but I thought to myself, I wonder really what he referring to, because I've been saved for a couple of weeks now, and I was fully persuaded that Christians were all angels. What can he possibly say? Who would possibly want to discourage me? Boy, he learned some things, and I've learned them too now. And I'm telling you this, Christians are indeed a long way from being perfect. You know how I really learned that? You might learn it too. You might try this. You might try this. I learned it in the mirror. Yeah. The longer I've been saved, and I'm looking at myself, and I tell you what, I'm a long way from being perfect. And may I be the one to break it to you? So are you. Amen. Only Jesus Christ, I've heard it said, only Jesus Christ is not the power.
Yeah.
Amen. But I've learned this. I've learned this that even though Christians are a long way from being perfect, this is absolutely the best crowd I ever run with.
Amen.
Yeah, the shout out military, motorcycle gang, anywhere I've ever been. Amen. I'd rather be around you guys.
Amen.
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 I learned some things. I was just hanging around a little while, you learned some things too. I learned this. It's okay to be yourself.
Amen.
It's okay to be yourself. God uses God's fault, and God uses individuals. He's got it set up that way so that He gets glory. Amen. When I was in evangelism in 97, my pastor said, he said, now, David, don't try. Just be yourself. God called you. God knew what He was getting. I still marvel at that. But I said, God wants to use you. And then He said this. Don't try to be somebody you're not.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, you travel around and I go to your meetings and you can watch a guy, you can watch all the guy's mannerisms, all the way he speaks his iron in, and you can tell where he went to school, you can tell who he's remastered, you can follow. Amen. Because there are places that are just churches too, not just school, that are cranking out phones.
Oh, yeah, right.
Amen. Believe me, my pastor was nothing like me. Amen. I'm not a clone of anybody. He said this. He said, just, let me tell you this. Trying to be somebody you're not is bondage. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He freed us from
it.
Amen. And then the pastor said this. He said, now, David, now you're going to go out there, and he had more confidence in me than I had in myself at the time. He said, you're going to go out there, and God's going to use you. And he said, be careful. I said, be careful. Don't get so polished and professional that you lose the David's person that God called in the first place.
Amen.
And as we can see, I don't know the answer. Thank you. on going for God,
amen,
regardless of what everybody is.
Right.
That's what you do. Now just keep at it.
Amen. Sometimes things are disappointing, but amen, there's going to be a day there'll be no more disappointment.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Martin, it's two. This is introduction. I'm not to the outline yet. Okay. Go there. told them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know what I learned? Just what Jesus just said right there. With God all things are possible. I tell you what, I got saved. I was almost 38 years old. I come out of a life of crime, motorcycle games, drugs, liquor, and everything like that. And boy, within the first year, I must have heard the word impossible 100 times. Amen. I was told at my sin sing, my preacher was told at my sin sing, that it is impossible for this man not to leave with the marshals today and be taken to federal prison. I pled guilty several months before. I pled guilty to Jesus Christ for everything I ever did. Amen. I got saved. I got bond. I went and pled guilty to weapons and drugs. 10 months later, I'm before the judge, and there was a lot of letters. There were people in court. It's a long story. But the prosecutor said, I acknowledge the change in this man. They couldn't claim it. I couldn't claim it. We acknowledge the change. We acknowledge all this. But to God, I'm going to tell you right here, don't come in here with your hopes alive. It is impossible that this man not be sent to prison. The federal sentencing guidelines were come down from Congress, and that's all it was. Just anybody that thought maybe there was a miracle going to happen that day, maybe they did. I didn't. I didn't expect it. I went to face the music. I was prepared to go. Amen.
Yeah.
And then when the church left the courtroom about an hour later, I was up. And that federal judge, that full-blooded Jewish federal judge, separated his drug charge from a weapons charge, sentenced me to 5 years probation, a $50 fine, 6 months house arrest, and 1,000 hours of community service. I was a Santa Claus somewhere. I don't know. 1,000 hours of community service to this federal judge, this Jewish man said, this is Virgin, I believe you have a message that people need to hear. And I sent you to 1,000 hours, 200 hours per year for 5 years to tell others how you got off dope, how you got off liquor, and how you got out of a lawless lifestyle. And I admit, he had asked me to elaborate. He said, what happened to you? I said, I got saved. I have Jesus Christ to forgive me. He changed my heart, Your Honor. That's all I said. And that Jewish judge sent me to preach to God. So wait a minute. It is impossible for this man not to go to prison. I never did go to prison. They went back to the church at a special, it was a Friday in November 1991. We all went back to the church. About 80 people from the church came to my sentencing. And what did they turn Amazing Grace on when they played with bagpipes? I really like that. Put it in a cassette. For some of you, that was a little thing called a cassette. And here we are, sitting in the front row, and everybody's there. And it's a miracle because I thought I was, going to be in a handcuffed to the floor of a van by then. And then Brother Heath, that got Brother squared off from me, said, all right, this is a great thing about this day. The Virgin, if you ever backslide, I will call that judge myself. And you knew my pastor, there was no doubt in my mind. He meant what he said. And I said, yes, sir. Amen. I was told it was impossible. I was told it would be impossible for me, after all these years of a bad lifestyle, to do 5 years probation and make it. The recidivism rate was 85-90%. I got a standing ovation when I got off of probation. Amen. They said it's impossible. That virgin won't go back to the streets, won't go back to the drugs, won't go back to something that had to do with that life. He's just playing this game to keep from going to prison. I wasn't afraid of going to prison. I had more friends in prison back then than some of you got out here. But I'll tell you what I wasn't afraid of. I was afraid of going to hell. And if it was intended to be clear that you'd have to be pretty foolish to even risk going to a lake of fire in light of Jesus Christ going to the cross to make a way for your sins to be forgiven.
Amen.
I didn't go back to the street. I got out of jail, and 3 months later, I went into full-time evangelism. I've been doing that ever since. But they said, no, that's impossible. custody. Because if I didn't put them in Ohio back then, maybe still the same way, men don't get custody of kids, especially federal convicted felons. They said, that's impossible, man. That kid's going to end up getting raised in the most heathen home that you can possibly imagine. And she would have been if I wouldn't have won what I won. Because they said, then this is Spurgeon here. You know, it was wonderful. That's where you amen. This is wonderful with marriage to my Bible teacher, the dean of our Bible Institute, Dr. Mike Einstein, Vietnam veteran, finest Christian I ever knew in my entire life, Mike Fred. 5 years after I got saved, he got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. He's already been on a wheelchair for 26 years from being paralyzed from fighting in Vietnam. And he got that day. I watched that family go through that thing until he stepped into eternity. Amen. Left a widow and three orphans, and here's Brother Spurgeon walking around, brand new band with a little love. She might have been six by now. And the Lord said, I'm going to put you guys together, and you go on and continue to serve me. And, you know, I think I'm the one that said, that's impossible.
He could have committed. Didn't Christ acknowledge that? All 15. John 15. Verse number 5. John 15, verse number 5. Now the Lord speaks and he says this: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. See, this isn't difficult. This isn't hard. This isn't mystical. You want to bring forth fruit? Abide in him. Alright? So, for without me, look what it said. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, with God, all things are possible, but Jesus is saying here, without me, ye can do nothing. And, you know, if you've been around a while, you know that sometimes things are hard because of spiritual opposition. There is spiritual opposition. I think the devil gets credit for things he doesn't even know about. You know, the devil do this. No, he's right. He's on the other side of the world. It was just your thinking flesh. That wasn't in the outline. I don't know where they came from. But right. Amen. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also
on him. I don't know what might be. But they also got this problem right here. Let's finish the verse. It says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. But they should be put out of the synagogue. There's a lot of Christians that because of whoever they are around, work around, live around, they're gonna be in heaven, but boy, they ain't taking nobody with them. Because they're worried about what people think. Look what it says in verse 43. Here's one closet Christian. That don't even sound right. And it says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's where you're not careful. You can find yourself doing the right thing for the wrong motive, like the approval, the recognition, or the praise of men. That's incredible. How does that mean? That's just calling it 2001. I was just a few years into evangelism. The meeting was all set up. They had three preachers preaching on a rotation for 4 days. And one of the guys' plane got held up in Salt Lake City, and they came and asked me if I would go in spot. There's about 700, 800 people there. They gave me about 2 hours notice. And I'm underneath my bus working on something I'd pray on bus back then. Covered it. I said, well, tell them. Sure, of course I will. And, I go up to my bus. I go up into the back room. My wife was out. The kids were out. And I'm in the back bedroom of that Greyhound. And I said, every message I have, and I spread it out on the bed. Okay, but this many. Somebody said, how many messages did you got? I said, it's like three, but I got 200 titles for it. Some of you are saying, yeah, we're starting to see that. Amen. And I spread all my messages out, and I said, God, I am going to pray about this, and I was taught Bible school. God opens the door, you go through it. It wasn't open.
Oh, I don't think I'm ready.
But anyway, if you say that a couple times, you'll never be asked again. I don't want to run that risk. Amen. So I spread everything out, and then I got a pad and pen. And I started praying. I mean, eyes open. I'm on my knees, but my eyes open. I said, God, I want to be a blessing. And you're going to have to either show me what it is you want me to pray, or start talking. And I'm writing right now. And then something else. And drew my attention to a message I don't think I've ever preached here called Follow the Directions. And it was about how before God put this wonderful and I together. My little 5-year-old points, we're going to the grocery store, and she points up to a box of brownies. Box of brownies on the shelf, and she says, Dad, can you make those? Do I look like a baker? I look like I like baking, but I don't look like a baker. I pulled that box off the shelf, and I said to her, I said, how hard can it be? Women do this stuff. Strike fear in the heart of the most mature Christian. Everybody's like, You know, I held up that box and I said, Clyde, I'm not talking about saving.
And I'm glad I did,
because my flesh didn't want to. My flesh wanted to be more concerned about what they think. So I'm going to tell you what, we need to get to a point where we just want to mind this. Let me tell you something. The only thing worse than government politics, and I mean, all right, I don't want to even park there, but I'm going to tell you what's worse than with government politics.
It's Christian.
That's right. Some of the things I've seen going on in churches, it's amazing. I'm going to say this big time. After 15 years of motorcycle gangs, I have no interest in being in another club or another clique. Amen. I want to know how to please my Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So, things I've learned is the subject tonight. It says this in Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not. Amen. We need to examine our motives again. I'll say it again. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4, we read it already, and verse 9 says this. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So after 66 years on the planet, 28 years as a Christian, 22 years full-time evangelism, I have learned some things. Let me break it down for you. Let me put it in a nutshell. Here's what I've learned. If anything goes right in my life, it is by the grace of God.
Amen.
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 I'm here to tell you, same goes for you.
That's right.
I mean, I used to take credit for myself, but I've learned that God is a very great person. And then I'll tell you the other thing I learned. I still got a lot to learn.
Amen.
I got a lot to learn. Amen. How about you, man?
Yes, yes.
Are you still learning?
Yeah.
Are you still learning, or you got it now? You've been at it a while. You've seen some things. You've done some things. You memorized the verses. You like the people to cry. You skin them out on the street. And you think you got it all figured out? The worst thing you ever have to do, Christian, is to think you've got it under control.
Yeah. True.
That's right. Amen. You know why? Because that will cause you to lean on your own understanding.
Right.
And God won't be directing your path anymore. And that is exactly the last thing we want, isn't it? Amen? Let me say this. The worst thing that happens to a Christian, but the worst thing that happens to a person that's not a Christian, somehow gives the idea they don't need to be. A guy read the track one time. I may have said this before. A guy read the track. A city councilman up in Massachusetts. He said, wow, that's quite a story. You really did need to say. Now, the first time it occurred to me that there are people that have read that don't see their own need.
Yeah, right.
But we all have that need. I was upstate New York, and up track, and you probably had, I know you said, on the street, you probably have somebody stay instead of taking a gospel check. That's okay. I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I pray for you in church on Saturday night. We're glad you're here, but I'm here to tell you, if you've never been born again, Jesus Christ said you must be born again. There's no covenant coming into the church building. This is what we believe. This is what we believe.
Yeah.
And this says you must be born again. And if you never have been, you're not okay.
That's right.
When it comes to turn. When you need that, ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, because we're all sinners. And you need to believe, the Bible says, believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead. That means understand. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. He didn't have any of his own. Christ died for our sins. According to Scripture. And he was buried and rose again the third day. Listen, man, if the gift of eternal life is simple enough that a professional criminal, 20 years drug addict, and make fun. I didn't expect to ever go to a church outside of a penitentiary. I never saw it. I sure didn't see this coming. But according to that, I knew what I was getting an hour.
Amen.
That book says hell is real.
Yeah, amen.
And that book says the blood of Jesus Christ is unclenched from all sin. I'm here to tell you tonight that's the only thing.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to have to believe on what Christ did on the cross and call on Him and He'll forgive you.
Amen.
Now, there's people that have said this or just said, there's a lot of different roads that lead to heaven. And there's a lot of different ideas. There's a lot of different roads, but I'm going to tell you what. All but one of them is directed on devil's path.
That's right.
Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, not a way. It's in the heart. You don't have to just ask. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's
right.
Amen.
That's right. He's the only way to heaven.
Amen.
He's the only way to forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, I never met a saved person yet. I know facts of the Christian. Don't regret forgiveness.
That's right.
And I sure of all the regrets I've got in my life, I have never regretted it in my heart.
Amen.
It's the best thing I ever did in this life. But it's the only thing you're going to do in this life. It's going to take you to the right place in the next one. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed. I've learned some things, and you know what, everybody in here, you've been having any time at all, maybe that doesn't even matter. If you've been paying attention for a month, a year, you've learned some things too, and there's so much more, and it'll never matter this thing. You're here tonight, and there's some things God's telling you about. Let's deal with God about it. Let's heal ourselves to the Spirit of God. Let's avail ourselves to the old-fashioned altar. Amen. If God spoke to your heart tonight and needs to come pray, by all means, do it. Amen. Amen. I know you can pray here. You can pray on the roof if you want, but pray somewhere. Who's on the roof? You're here tonight and you're not saved. I'll tell you what, there's men, there's ladies, there's teenagers that can open God's book and show you how you can get this thing settled.
God can make it hard. He can make it hard. Religion makes it hard. You got to do all this and all these times.
Thank you, Lord. Let Him begin that first work tonight if you're not saved. What do we got? What song we got, brother?
Victory in Jesus.
All right.
Go ahead.
God of love. I'm done. God's not done.
Amen.
You ain't do business with God.
You got a God that can do the impossible. If you're not saved here tonight, you will be saved and born again by the Spirit.